352.
It's time for Fed Talk, the live show for feds in the know. From federal agencies to Capitol Hill, the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth bring in experts from across the federal community to bring you inside the issues. Fed Talk is meant to provide general information about legal issues. However, the views expressed in this program are not intended to provide legal counseling. Listeners are cautioned not to rely upon any statements made in resolving legal issues they may face, but instead to consult with their own attorney about specific situations. Attorneys are not engaged in providing legal services while appearing on the program and are not responsible in any manner for the consequences that may stem directly or indirectly from reliance on any statement made during this program.
Good morning. Welcome to Fed Talk. I'm Bill Bransford. I'm your host this morning, and today, even though you heard the disclaimer about legal advice, we're not going to be hearing anything about particularly about legal matters themselves. We're going to be talking a little bit about two distinct areas that I think really serve at least partially as a response to all of the anti-federal employee rhetoric that's been heard in the media here in the last few months. The first half of the show, I'd like to welcome Robin Kehoe from FEA, Federal Employee Education and Assistance Fund. Robin, welcome to Fed Talk.
Good morning, Bill.
And on the second half, we're going to talk to Jim Seymour from the Partnership of the Public Service. He's going to talk to us about the SAMMEs and about all the great things that the Partnership for Public Service does to promote all of the wonderful things that federal employees do for the American people. Robin, let's start off with FEA, Federal Employee Education and Assistance Fund. What is that?
It is a nonprofit organization that serves federal employees. We like to say that we're all about federal employees helping each other, feds helping feds. We are modeled after the military relief agencies that provide some safety net services to folks in the military, but we help civilian federal employees and their families. We do that with an annual college scholarship program, and we also provide emergency assistance for temporary financial emergencies and for natural disasters that affect feds and their families.
So anybody who was listening just before our show started may have heard Mike Causey talking about the public perception that federal employees have been unaffected by the recession, they are overpaid, and that's an inaccurate public perception that's been going on. From FEA's observation, have you been able to experience anything that would indicate that there are federal employees who are out there who are hurting because of this recession?
We have. We think that federal employees are hurting just as much as the general public. I think one of the things that gets forgotten by people much of the time is that because one person in a family is a federal employee and has a job that seems safe and stable at this point, doesn't mean that a spouse or a child is in the same situation. And so we've seen an awful lot of federal employees coming to us because they have a spouse who lost a job. And so they've suddenly gone from being a two-income family to being a one-income family. And, you know, many, many people out there know most of us couldn't absorb that for any length of time. When you have based a life on having two incomes and suddenly it drops down to one, things like paying a mortgage or paying rent or paying for utilities become much more difficult. And we've seen our requests for emergency assistance go up and up and up over the last couple of years. It's been phenomenal.
Okay, I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about that. And I'd like to remind our listeners that as we go through our program today, we're going to be talking a lot and trying to center the discussion around the value of federal employees in a lot of different ways. If you'd like to join our discussion, speak to us directly. You can call us on our toll-free number at 1-877-936-9333, or you can email us at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. And I'd also like to remind our listeners that Fed Talk is brought to you by GEICO, where 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance. And for more information, go to geico.com. Robin, so this emergency assistance, how does that work? Somebody has a problem. What do they do?
They either go to our website, which is www.feea.org, or they call our toll-free number that goes to our headquarters office, which is 800-323-4140. And they get an emergency assistance application. It's a very simple application. It requires only that they give us some proof that they are, in fact, a federal employee.
They have to be a federal employee.
They have to be a federal employee, yes. So we need a little proof that they are a federal employee, and then also some proof that they are having a financial difficulty that is temporary in nature. And we say that because we don't have the means to help someone who's run up tens of thousands of dollars in credit card bills. We can't help you pay those off. But if you're having trouble with basic living needs.
Give me some examples of some of the basic living needs that FEA has helped federal employees with.
Every day we get requests for help with rent or mortgage payments. We get requests for help with utilities payments. You know, a federal employee sitting at work being concerned that the lights are going to be turned off when their kids get home from school isn't really paying attention to work. They're worried about home. And so we can help take some of that burden off. What we do once a loan is approved is we pay the creditor directly, and the federal employee pays us back through payroll allotment a little bit at a time, no interest added.
No interest.
No interest.
And of course, by paying the creditor directly, you make sure that that federal employee doesn't take that check and use it for some other purpose.
That's part of it. And the other part of it is that it gives us some flexibility to talk to creditors and to get the check to them much more quickly, rather than a federal employee having to wait to receive a check from us, to cash it, to have it clear, and then to write another check to the creditor. We kind of cut out the middleman.
So, Robin, at FEA, you said that you've seen this increase over the years. Can you give me some idea of what's going on, what FEA sees in the federal employee community as far as this need for emergency assistance?
Sure. Our emergency assistance director, Roseanne Martellaro, has stories for us every day. And I would say that the thing she's mentioned most often recently has been federal employees whose spouses have either lost their job or feds who are working two jobs, sometimes single parents who are full-time federal employees and they might have another job a few nights a week on the weekends, and they're losing those second jobs and having a really hard time making ends meet. And we've gone from doing about $250,000 in emergency loans every year to, if we continue on the track that we're on this year, we may hit $500,000 in emergency loans. Last year, we did $387,000 worth of loans, and that helped over 600 federal families.
So it increased last year. It's increasing even more this year.
It is.
That's quite a testament that not every federal employee is living high on the hog as the media would portray it.
Yeah, I don't think most federal employees are living high on the hog.
That's probably true. In addition to the emergency assistance, what else does FEA do for federal employees? You mentioned something about a scholarship program. Tell us how that works.
We have an annual merit-based scholarship contest. And by merit-based, we mean that we look at a student's grades. We look at community service. There's a different essay topic every year, a short essay that gets included. But we don't look at family finances. And the reason we don't do that is because under the guidelines for most financial assistance scholarships, most federal employees do make too much money to qualify. But the costs of college keep going up and up and up. And so it makes it that much harder for any family to pay for school.
Most federal employees make too much money to qualify for financial assistance, but they don't make enough money to really be able to afford to pay tuition.
Exactly. Exactly. And so we choose to run our program in a way that rewards good students who are also good members of their communities. And those students can be the children of federal employees. They can also be the spouses of federal employees, and they can be feds themselves, going back to school to finish a degree, to get in the next level of schooling, to look towards a promotion, those types of things.
So how has FEA done as far as the amounts of scholarships and where they take place and that kind of thing?
The amount of scholarships has been going up over the years. We started this program a little over 20 years ago, and we now give away about $500,000 a year in scholarships. And we give those scholarships all over the country. We have an application period that starts in January and ends at the end of March, and then the awards are made over the summer in time for the start of the fall semester. What's important about the fall semester for us at FEA is that it's through the combined federal campaign that we raise all of the money for the scholarship program.
So all of the money comes from the combined federal campaign. And that's going on right now, isn't it, Robin?
It is going on
right
now.
And that's one of the reasons you're here, isn't it?
It is one of the reasons I'm here. Okay. We want federal employees who are out there determining where they're going to give their CFC dollars to know that if they give to FEA by pledging to our CFC number 11185, that those dollars will go to help provide scholarships right in the area where they live and work.
11185 on the combined federal campaign, and it's federal employees helping federal employees. We're going to talk more about FEA right after the break. This is Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
And now, a word from our good friends at GEICO, where you could save 15% on car insurance. By now, you've no doubt seen those car insurance commercials with the talking gecko on TV. He's always talking about how people could save 15% or more switching to GEICO. Well, that sounds like a pretty good deal in and of itself. But get this. If you're an employee of the federal government, you may be eligible to save even more than that. That's something the Gecko didn't mention in all those commercials. And you've probably heard many times about how many people have switched to Geico. Millions. But what you might not know is how many people stay with Geico once they've switched. In fact, on average, Geico customers who are federal employees have stayed with the company for over 20 years. Now that's customer satisfaction. Sound like a good deal to you? Then just call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO or go online to geico.com and find out how much you could save.
Good morning. Welcome back to Fed Talk. I'm Bill Bransford. With me in the studio is Robin Kehoe from FEA. That's the Federal Employee Education and Assistance Fund. And we also have with us Jim Seymour from the Partnership of Public Service. And we'll be talking to Jim about the recent SAMMYs, the SAMMY Awards. And, of course, this is an opportunity for Jim to talk a little bit about how they get the SAMMY nominations. We'll do that in the next session of the show. But, and Robin, just before this break, you were talking again about the Combined Federal Campaign Fund, a very important source of funding for FEA, 1185, I believe you said
11185.
111. Three ones, an eight, and a five is the number. So those scholarships, there's $500,000 in scholarships, and you said they're merit based, and there's an essay and scholarship and contributions to the community. And how do you decide who to give them to? Do you give them to everyone?
We don't give them to everyone. We wish we could. If we raised significantly more money during our CFC efforts, then we probably would be able to give more scholarships. Right now, only about 10 to 15% of applicants receive scholarships. And what that means in practical numbers is that we get between 3 and 4,000 applicants every year, and we usually have about 400 winners each year. And that is across the country. And the judging is done by volunteer committees of federal employees in the different parts of the country where we adjudicate the program.
Could you use more volunteers?
We could always use more volunteers.
And how could somebody become a FEA volunteer?
They could become a volunteer by going to our website, which is, again, www.feea.org. And going to the volunteers section, they can read about all the different types of volunteering that we have. And there's much more information there about what to do if they think they'd like to become a volunteer.
And in addition to rewarding these fine people, and I've been to some of the scholarship award ceremonies. I mean, these are amazing people, mostly young kids who get these awards and what they've already done with their lives at the age of 18 or 19 or 20. In addition to evaluating them and making the decision to reward them, what else can somebody do to be who's a FEA volunteer?
The other area where we always need volunteers is particularly during the combined federal campaign for people to get supplies from us, which are information sheets, some little giveaway items that have our name and website and CFC number on them, and to educate other people in their offices about how to support FEA about what programs FEA has. We think of this time of year as much a time to let people know how they can get help from us as it is to ask them to give. And people can get more information about that on the website if they go to FEA.org/CFC. We have a whole section about how CFC donations are used, and there's also an order form to get supplies or to request a speaker for an event.
And FEA has a very small staff. I think our listeners should understand you have you're here in Washington, but you have an office located in low cost Denver, Colorado, and just a few employees that take care of all of this.
Yes, we have 8 employees total. We have, at the moment, 3 here in Washington and 5 at our headquarters outside Denver. And, you know, we're lucky that with telephone and internet and email and online banking and all of those kinds of things, we're really able to help feds wherever they are across the country and even around the world.
So almost all of what's contributed in CFC actually goes back to federal employees, very, very little to running the organization.
Exactly.
Robin, you mentioned the no interest loans to help an emergency, take care of an electric bill or a rent payment or something like that. The payments that the federal employees make comes back out of their paycheck each 2 weeks. What's the interest rate or the repayment rate? Is it pretty good?
It is pretty good. We have fewer than 5% of people who receive loans don't end up paying the full amount back. And the biggest reason for that is if somebody leaves federal employment for some reason, that they don't have a paycheck coming in from the government anymore, and therefore the money is not coming back out. But one of the things that we make sure that everyone who receives a loan knows is that the money that they pay back in to repay their loan goes back to providing a similar loan for someone else. So the money's always reinvested in helping other federal employees.
Well, I think we have just about enough time left, Robin, to talk about the 2 other big things that FEA does, which are really incredible, probably the most incredible things that FEA does. And one of them is the scholarships to all of the children who lost a parent either at Oklahoma City and the Pentagon, full ride scholarship that FEA has committed itself to. And the second is the grants, the emergency grants, which are different from the no interest loans that FEA provides at times of major crisis, like Hurricane Katrina, for example. Why don't we start with the Oklahoma City and Pentagon children who are many of whom are in college right now? Tell us what FEA does for them.
Sure. Those programs actually did grow out of our emergency grant program. The grant program provides grants, so money that doesn't have to be paid back when there are natural or unfortunately man-made disasters that affect federal employees and their families. And so we started out after the Oklahoma City bombing, helping families with the immediate needs that they had, and the outpouring of support was so great that we looked for another way to help the families long-term. And what we ended up doing was creating a scholarship program that will provide a full college scholarship. So tuition, room, board, books, fees, in some cases even transportation to and from school for any child who lost a parent or had a parent who was critically injured in the Oklahoma City bombing. It turned out that there were more than 200 children eligible over 20 years for that program. The youngest child was actually born after the bombing occurred.
It was 1995. Some of them would be like 14 or 15 years old now, the youngest ones.
Right. So we have some who will just be starting college within the next few years. And out in Oklahoma, there are some other programs. There's a community development program that also has money for these kids. And so we work very closely with them to make sure that all of the needs of these students are taken care of.
I hear that, you know, some colleges are like approaching $60,000 a year. Can FEA handle that?
We can. Luckily, we plan very well. We have a great investment advisor who helps us take care of those funds on a pro bono basis. And we make sure that we can keep the promise that we made 20 years ago, 15 years ago in this case, that we'll be able to see those kids through at least an undergraduate education. And so far, we have been able to do that for every child who has qualified for the program and wants our help.
And what about the Pentagon after 9/11? Tell us also a little bit about what FEA did after 9/11 at the Pentagon. I mean, you were there.
I was there. We, in some cases, I hesitate to use the word, but I almost think that the folks here in Washington were lucky in the sense that they had the resources of the federal government and of the military, knowing how to respond to a disaster like that. And there was an emergency center set up for families at a hotel in Arlington, Virginia, not far from the Pentagon. And the day after the attacks, we were there at the Family Assistance Center talking to families, trying to help them in any way we could, while at that point they were still looking for survivors to see if anyone had survived the plane crash. We had families who, you know, heard about the attacks and jumped in their car and started driving to Washington from California or Indiana or Texas, and not thinking about the fact that they are an hourly wage employee, and if they're not working, they're not getting a paycheck. Not thinking about the money that they were spending in gas and food to get here to Washington. And so in some cases, coming to us needing help to make sure that their house was still going to be there for them when they got back. And at the early stages, we had no idea when that would be. So for a month afterwards, we were at the Family Assistance Center talking to families every day, people who couldn't concentrate for long enough to pay the bills. I had one gentleman who came to me with a stack of mail and asked for our help because he knew there were bills in there, but he couldn't concentrate for long enough to pay his bills.
And what about the children of the Pentagon, the children who lost a parent at the Pentagon? Are you doing the scholarship thing for them as well?
We are. Because we had that model from Oklahoma City and because the same thing happened, we were able to help the families with all of their immediate needs, and the outpouring of support was so much greater that there was money available, and we felt that we could make the same promise. And there were about 65 children who were eligible. And the youngest child at that time was about 18 months old. So she's just barely a teenager now.
And Robin, when there is a forest fire, or brush fire out in California, and federal employees' homes are threatened, or a hurricane on the Gulf Coast like Katrina or Florida, FEA's there. And you don't just give no-interest loans. I mean, you do more than that. Tell us what FEA does for that.
We do grants in those cases, which, again, is money that the employee doesn't have to pay back. And where we normally start out is with a small grant of about $500. And it's something that we're able generally to do immediately while people are still waiting to find out what the full extent of damage is, while they're still waiting to find out if they'll qualify for other types of assistance from the Red Cross or FEMA.
Or from their insurance
companies. From their insurance companies. Right. We know it sometimes takes a long time to get insurance claims processed.
So it's like an immediate infusion of assistance. And, one of the stories I liked was Steve Bauer, who's the executive director of FEA, likes to tell a story about in Hurricane Andrew in the early 90s. He flew in with a suitcase full of $100 bills because the electricity was out and nobody could get money from their ATMs. And FEA just handed out $100 bills to federal employees so that they have some cash to make ends meet for a few days.
Exactly.
While the infrastructure came back.
Right. And luckily, we haven't had to go to quite those lengths. But, after Hurricane Katrina, one of the biggest issues we had was that federal employees were dispersed all over the country, just like everybody else in the Gulf Coast area. And so trying to track them down sometimes after they'd called and put in an application, and a few days later following up to make sure they were actually still in the same place to be able to get a check to them.
And I think the number, if I've committed it to memory, is for Katrina itself, 4,000 Gulf Coast federal employees received $1.8 million in grants that they did not have to pay back, and they received that money very quickly.
That's right.
After they put in the request.
That's right.
And one of the, I've heard of like the Red Cross and issues with people applying for aid. FEA was able to do that very efficiently, quickly, and accurately so that only affected federal employees received the benefit.
We did our best.
Tell us a little bit about how that worked. It must have been a lot of work to do all of that.
It is. And, our staff out in Colorado was working incredibly long hours. They had a lot of volunteers coming in, helping them to make follow-up calls. We had probably 40 or 50 messages on our answering machine every day. And we were just doing our best to try to keep track of people and have them fax us documentation. The threshold of documentation that we need in a disaster is much lower. And we also sometimes are able to get help from agency HR offices in verifying people's federal employment. People often in a disaster don't have access to their latest standard form 50 or other proofs of federal employment. And so we do whatever we can kind of on the back end with our connections to verify employment and make sure that we can help employees right away.
So, and with in 2005, with $1.8 million for 4,000 federal employees, I think that's correct, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You need federal employees to provide money to you so you can have the money to pay out to people in a crisis. Fortunately, I don't think there we have a lot of crises this year. But
knock on wood, no.
Yeah, but they do happen. So how, again, can federal employees contribute? Because FEA really does need every federal employee's help.
We do. We really do. And I think it's important for federal employees to know that if they choose to pledge to us by pledging to CFC number 11185, that every dollar counts. And so even if it's just a dollar per pay period, that's a building block for us. If 10 feds do that, if 100 feds, if 1,000 feds, if 1,000,000 feds did that, what we would be able to do with all of those $1 per pay period pledges is staggering.
Well, Robin, thank you very much for being with us here on Fed Talk this morning, and thanks for all you do for FEA and for federal employees.
It's my pleasure, Bill.
It's good to have you here. We're going to stop here for a short break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Jim Seymour from the Partnership of Public Service. He's going to talk about all the tremendous things federal employees have done, and in particular, some of the ones that are particularly outstanding. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
And now, a word from our good friends at GEICO, where you could save 15% on car insurance. When you say that you work for the federal government, many people out there immediately picture you wearing a suit, driving a government-issue sedan, and living in D.C. While that may be true for some, in reality, federal employees have a wider variety of jobs than most people could ever imagine, from postal workers to CIA agents, from working in an office to working in outer space. These jobs are all so different that it's hard to believe they have something in common, but they do. And that similarity is GEICO. As employees of the federal government, many of these people may be eligible for additional discounts on top of GEICO's already low rates. And just because the cost is lower doesn't mean that GEICO's service is anything less than top rate. So whether you're in animal control or air traffic control, call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO. Or go online to geico.com and find out how much you could save.
I'm Deborah Roth, host of Fed Talk and partner at the law firm of Shaw, Bransford & Roth. Our firm specializes in helping federal employees with legal issues concerning their jobs or benefits. For two decades, we have been representing federal employees in adverse action cases, employment discrimination complaints, inspector general and internal affairs investigations, security clearance issues, and other federal employment disputes. If you have a legal concern, don't wait. Call Shaw, Bransford & Roth at 202-463-8400 or visit our website at shawbransford.com.
Welcome back to Fed Talk. I'm Bill Bransford, your host this morning. Our toll-free number, if you'd like to talk to us, offer a question or a comment, is 1-877-936-9333. Or you can email us at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. Jim, welcome to Fed Talk. It's good to have you here.
Thank you, Bill. I'm glad to be here.
I'm talking to Jim Seymour from the Partnership for Public Service. Jim, you have a bit of a role in these things called the SAMMEs.
Exactly. The Service to America Medals Program, or the SAMMEs as we like to call them. We are now entering our 10th annual Service to America Medals Program this year.
Has it been 10 years?
It's been
really?
10 years
wow.
already. Just in September, we announced our 2010 award recipients, our 9th annual awards. And as we've talked a little bit during the past half hour of helping federal employees, so that they can ultimately do their job through the Service to America Medals Program, we recognize the excellent job that those federal employees do so they can provide vital services to the American people.
And tell us a little bit, Jim, about what some of the SAMMEs Award winners have done. Why don't we deal with the ones this year?
Certainly. We had an amazing group of federal employees that we recognize as this year's Service to America Medals winner, starting with our Federal Employee of the Year, Pius Banas. Works with the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services down in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And following the earthquake down there in January, of course, total devastation and, you know, large number of orphans, some that had been in orphanages for many years leading up to the earthquake, and many new ones that were orphaned because of the earthquake. And through the humanitarian parole that the State Department and Department of Homeland Security were able to issue, Pius Banias actually, you know, helped facilitate getting more than 1,100 orphans out of Haiti and to their adoptive families here in the United States.
These are orphans from Haiti who actually now are legally adopted by American families.
Exactly. In a lot of cases, these families had been in the adoption process for 2 or 3 years before the earthquake. They'd been to Haiti and met their children and were just going through that adoption and immigration process. When the earthquake happened, of course, they had that immediate fear of, are my children still alive? And then working through with Pius Banias and his colleagues at USIS, able to get them here to the United States as quickly as possible.
All right. And we talked, and I talked a little bit in the beginning of the hour with Robin about federal employees you know, experiencing some of the brunt of the recession and not being in this, being able to sort of escape all of that as being portrayed by the news media. The other thing that the news media portrays is, you know, federal employees who really aren't worth all that much. They're not contributing. We're not getting value. It sounds like the people that get these SAMIs are just extraordinary. Are they the exception, do you think, or are they just the best of a very good group of people?
I think they are exemplary of most federal employees that are really committed to their jobs. They're incredibly talented and dedicated to public service. They are the best and brightest in our federal government, but they also are just shining examples of what all federal employees are doing to support the American people. And just, you know, that public sentiment, it's really easy to bash a large faceless group. If you think of the bureaucracy, the federal government, you hear negative perceptions of that. But if you really focus on individual federal employees, you know, most people you're talking to, they get excited and they really have appreciation for someone they know. And so these SAMIs winners really become our poster children for trying to build that enthusiasm and just help people stop to recognize what this whole group of individuals do to make our lives better.
So I think it's probably a good time to say we started. You're here to talk about the SAMIs. So we talk about the SAMIs and particularly this year's Federal Employee of the Year. But tell us a little bit about the Partnership for Public Service that puts this on. What other things do you do?
So in addition to being the 10th annual SAMIs Awards, is also we're coming into the 10th anniversary of the partnership and really founded to revitalize our federal government. We work on two fronts to try and inspire people into government service and also work with the agencies to help them be more innovative and effective in their work. So the SAMIs certainly fits on that inspire side. We share these stories, want to encourage young people, college students to consider jobs in the federal government. But also on the transformation side, we're working with agencies and OPM now to try and improve the hiring process so that it's a little more streamlined and easier to get into government service. We also do a lot of leadership training, partner with the agencies and bring their senior managers into training sessions. And it's not just they sit in a classroom, they learn leadership principles, but through hands-on work sharing across the agencies, they take on projects and try and implement those skills through an 8-month leadership program.
Okay, and SAMIs is a part of what you do, the inspiration part of it. Where did the idea come from, Service to America Medals? Who thought of SAMIs? That's a great way of putting it together.
Yeah, the SAMIs just came forward as a natural acronym, you know, Service to America Medal, SAM. We wanted to just shorten it, and we sometimes think of it as the Oscars of the federal government or of Washington, D.C. And actually, this year, we renamed the program in honor of our founder, Samuel Heyman. It wasn't originally named after him. He passed away unexpectedly last year. We saw an opportunity to pay special tribute to him for his vision to found the partnership in renaming the SAMIs after him this year. But again, really an opportunity to... I don't know who gets a specific credit for coming up with the idea, but just recognizing that we needed to build better public support for our federal workforce.
Yeah. It's become a part of the lexicon and of the federal employees, and certainly in September when the awards are made, it's something that federal employees everywhere, I think, are recognized for the fine job that the winners do. But how do you get these winners? How do you figure out who they're going to be?
Well, right now we're in that nomination process where any federal employee, any career civilian federal employee is eligible for the Service to America Medals. And really, anyone may participate as a nominator. It could be a colleague, a supervisor, even a family member or friend that just wants to recognize the great work that someone is doing in the federal government. And we do recognize and take nominations from federal employees in any agency, any part of the country, any part of the world. The nomination process is really simple through our website, which is servicetoamericamedals.org. We have an online nomination form where you just complete some information, the contact information about the nominee, nominator, a couple references, and really then just write a couple paragraphs about what this person has done. We don't want it to be a quick bio of what they do, but trying to recognize some significant accomplishments that they've had on behalf of the American people. And that's really the information that our selection committee looks to find those find innovation, you know, things that haven't been done before, or taking a project and being able to expand it out and use that as a model of excellence across the federal government, and be a leader for things that could be adopted in the private sector.
All right, and Jim, one of the important parts of the SAMMEs is all of the support you get from, particularly from your corporate sponsors. Tell us a little bit. I mean, they make it possible.
Absolutely. The Service to America medals would not be possible if not for our sponsors at every level. And we're very, very fortunate to have five national sponsors this year that include Booz Allen Hamilton, CH2M Hill, Chevron, DuPont, and United Technologies. And I think what's great about these organizations is they don't just see the federal government as a client. I think they truly see the federal government as a partner in trying to serve the needs of the American people. And they see this, the Service to America medals, as an opportunity to show appreciation to their federal colleagues and the folks that are on the front lines of delivering those services.
And one of the things these corporate sponsors help you do is to throw a big celebration for these federal employees. Tell us a little bit about that celebration.
Yes, it's a wonderful black tie gala that we hold in Washington, D.C. each fall, and we're able to attract some top government leaders. This year's awards gala included Secretary Napolitano from DHS, Secretary Donovan from HUD, Senator Ben Cardin from Maryland joined in presenting one of the awards, and we had Thad Allen, who led the Gulf Coast, the Gulf spill recovery effort on behalf of the government. And what's wonderful about the gala is these folks weren't there to be recognized, but rather they came to shine the spotlight on the unsung heroes in our public service. And so we had this big black tie gala. The honorees received cash prizes ranging from $3,000 to $10,000, depending on their award category. And some other neat opportunities. We were able to take the winners to the White House this year to meet with the First Lady and have a photo opportunity with her. So really, throughout the government, just showing appreciation to their amazing accomplishments.
And I'm delighted, Jim, to have with us one of your representative from one of your corporate sponsors, United Technologies, Greg Ward, Senior Vice President. Greg, welcome to Fed Talk.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. It's nice to be here.
It's good to have you with us. And I'd like to, Jim tells me you've been involved with the SAMMEs personally for a long time.
I have, I think, from the inaugural event about 9 or 10 years ago.
And tell me a little bit about why you, as Executive Vice President, Senior Vice President for Governmental Affairs at United Technologies, why you and your company support the SAMMEs, and in particular, the work of federal employees.
Well, to be honest with you, it's kind of a no-brainer. We have a number of companies, first of all, that are interacting with the federal government at all levels, virtually on a daily basis. We own Otis Elevator and Carrier Air Conditioning and Sikorsky Helicopters and Pratt & Whitney Engines. So we have a lot of federal business. And as was said just a little bit earlier, we don't necessarily just look at our interaction with federal employees as a customer or client relationship, but we look at them as critical partners. And we have a policy here at UTC of trying to delight our customers and our partners at all times. But I think more importantly, and on a more human level, it's quite clear to us that federal employees are smart, they're qualified, they're motivated, and they're committed professionals. And obviously, their service to the country is essential, and yet it remains somewhat underappreciated. So in our own small way, we're just trying to work with the partnership to help change that focus.
Well, thank you for that endorsement for federal employees. It's something I also personally feel that they are at least currently underappreciated. It seems to me that one of the major things federal employees as a group do is they provide an environment in which businesses such as yours can thrive not just with the government business, but with other business in general. And without federal employees providing a secure infrastructure for our country, we might have a lot tougher time.
I agree with that. And the SAMMYs and the award that you were just talking about, the annual gala dinner, provides that opportunity and that focus to try to bring out into the public eye more about these heroic deeds that these humble people are doing on a virtually daily basis. So it touches you not only as an executive, as a professional, but quite frankly, just as a, on a very personal level as well, because in the final analysis, it's about people helping other people. And whether it's disease management protocols or finding notorious criminals or, you know, making more life bearable for our soldiers in the field, that's what it's all about. It's helping each other out. And we have these humble people who are doing great work, and yet the image is somewhat to the contrary. So I think the partnership and the SAMMYs are to be congratulated for doing what they're doing.
Well, and you're to be thanked tremendously for your support of the partnership and the SAMMYs and all that you do on behalf of federal employees. They need the outspoken support of those in the business community to help the American people realize just how valuable they are. So that's very much appreciated, and we also appreciate you taking time from your busy schedule to be here with us this morning as we review what happens with the SAMMYs. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Okay, we're going to be right back after this short break from our sponsors. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
And now, a word from our good friends at GEICO, where you could save 15% on car insurance. By now, you've no doubt seen those car insurance commercials with the talking gecko on TV. He's always talking about how people could save 15% or more switching to GEICO. Well, that sounds like a pretty good deal in and of itself. But get this. If you're an employee of the federal government, you may be eligible to save even more than that. That's something the Gecko didn't mention in all those commercials. And you've probably heard many times about how many people have switched to GEICO. Millions. But what you might not know is how many people stay with GEICO once they've switched. In fact, on average, GEICO customers who are federal employees have stayed with the company for over 20 years. Now that's customer satisfaction. Sound like a good deal to you? Then just call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO or go online to geico.com and find out how much you could save.
Oh, welcome back to Fed Talk. I'm Bill Bransford. This is Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And if you would like to participate in our show with a question or a comment, our number is 1-877-936-9333. That's a toll-free number. Or you can email us at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. We're talking to Jim Seymour from the Partnership for Public Service. And, Jim, we're talking about this year's SAMMYs and next year's SAMMYs a little bit. Before we get into some of the amazing things this year's award winners did, what this process, you talked about the easy application process that somebody can do. What happens after you get the application in?
Okay. Well, again, folks would start by visiting servicetoamericamedals.org in order to complete the online nomination form, and that's online through January of 2011. Once we receive those applications, we normally receive between 400 and 500 nominations each year. And we really think that every nomination is a great opportunity to show appreciation for a colleague or employee within your organization. We not only tell their stories through the SAMMYs, but if we're on with Federal News Radio or some other partnerships with the Washington Post in our Fed Players series, where we can recognize their accomplishments in just helping people understand and know what the federal government does on our behalf. So when we receive those nominations, we have our own internal process to narrow the field down to about 30 finalists, and we announce those finalists in May during a breakfast on Capitol Hill and actually during Public Service Recognition Week. And that's an opportunity to recognize all government employees at every level of national and state and local.
I've heard what those finalists, I mean, some of those finalists don't win, and what they do is phenomenal. How do you make that final decision? That's got to be very difficult.
Well, fortunately, for narrowing the field from the finalists down to the award recipients, we're able to engage a prestigious selection committee. We reach out to government leaders, corporate leaders, executives from foundations, and presidents from universities, sometimes even prominent figures from the media and entertainment industry. But we share the finalist stories with them and let them do the voting to determine the award recipients each year. This year's selection committee included folks like OPM Director John Barry, Senators Ted Kaufman and George Voinovich. We had the president from Tulane University, had the president and CEO from IBM and the founder of Craigslist, Craig Newmark. And so all those folks helped review those stories and make their votes to determine who the award recipient should be.
And so it's a tough judgment, but the award winners come in and they're recognized at the gala that you talked about. That's helped to be done by the sponsors that you have. And have you seen over the 10 years you've been doing Sammy's that this has raised the visibility of federal employees?
What we've seen is just a greater appreciation within the agencies. We find that they're when someone hears that they have an award recipient from their agency, that they just take that honor to heart for their colleagues. What we need is help from all of your listeners, from all federal employees and managers, to help share these stories outside of the federal government. We certainly take every opportunity to tell the stories in the media, great partnerships with Federal News Radio and the Washington Post and Washington Times and other local good government media outlets. We even reach out to state and local regional papers like the Denver Post and Tampa Tribune. Alumni organizations get out to their alumni magazines. But it's almost just like when you go to a great restaurant, you've tried this great new restaurant in your neighborhood, you tell your family and your friends, your neighbors. When you hear a great story about a federal employee and something they've done on behalf of the American people, we want you to tell your friends and neighbors and family members about that story. And then, of course, nominate them for the Service to America Medal so we can help get that story out there further.
Okay. And you've already told us one story, Pius Banas from Citizenship and Immigration Service and what he did in Haiti. Tell us a little bit more about some of the other award winners this year.
One of our local winners this year is Terry Glass and the Army Medical Support Team. They work up at Fort Detrick in Maryland. And what they did came up with an emergency evacuation kit directly in response to the EIDs over in Iraq and Afghanistan, the roadside bombs, finding that they really needed to find a way to get the troops evacuated from those situations into medical care as quickly as possible. So they came up with an emergency medical evacuation kit that they could install in any vehicle, any non-ambulatory vehicle, in about a minute's time. They could convert one of their Humvees into an ambulance so they could get those troops away from that disaster area and really increase the survivability of the casualties.
And so they came up with this idea, and they were able to implement it, and as a result, they got this award.
Exactly. Hearing direct feedback from the troops and hearing this direct need that the service members needed over on those battlefronts, just, very innovative and creative through their own, woodworking shops, their own tools shops, came up with the system, and then, creating hundreds upon hundreds of these kits they could send out to the troops to use at the front lines.
So, Jim, having been to several of the Sammy galas, and we've done the Sammys on our radio show before, and I have to tell you my favorite category. I know the Federal Employee of the Year is the most prestigious, and that's the ultimate winner, the grand prize. But I really like the young federal employee. I'm not even sure I have the name of that right. But you recognize these young people who contribute so much.
Yes, we recognize the Call to Service Medal winners each year, and these are folks that are 35 years or younger and have five or few years in government service. This year's winner in that category, her name is Saskia Van Gent, works with the EPA out in California. She actually coined her own field of environmentally friendly materials called climaterials. And looking at how we could reduce packing materials, how we could actually create construction materials with the thought for what happens when that building comes down. If you can plan for that to have building materials that you know they can be recycled, then you're actually reducing your carbon imprint currently and in the future, and learning ways that you can not only save the environment, but also save money in the process.
And what's so wonderful about an example like that is a young person like this who hasn't been in government very long, who's being allowed to make that kind of contribution by what sometimes is viewed by the public as a stifling bureaucracy, which I find is an inaccurate description as well. They're being permitted to do that, and they're so successful because they're so committed and brilliant. And every year that category just blows me away because of what these young people who haven't been in the government all that long, what they've been able to do.
Exactly. What we hear from the young winners time and again, whether they're in this category or just a young person in one of the other award categories, is the opportunities that they have as someone new to the workforce. that they have opportunities that are beyond their imagination by working in the federal government. If it's a young lawyer and going into a law firm, you know, they'd be sitting filing papers for
exactly
a few years. But it, you know, in the federal government, they have opportunities to work on major cases. And especially someone working in scientific fields, as Saskia is doing, folks working in NIH and NIST, that they're able to just have the resources of the federal government in order to go out and find these amazing accomplishments and just create new things and have that support network to do so.
And we have a couple of other award winners this year, I believe, that we can talk about.
Yeah, another one of our winners this year working in the environmental area won the Science Environment Medal, Jeff Baker from out in Denver, Colorado. He helped design and lead the construction of the world's largest net zero energy office building. And this building will be opening up later this fall to house federal agencies. But, you know, net zero, that building will create its own energy supply to actually create as much as it needs or more energy that it'll consume, and using natural materials, using the natural climate to be able to heat and cool the building depending on the seasons, and making sure that it's environmentally sound, and again, finding ways to do so that it doesn't cost any more than a standard commercial building.
And that's, so you have a federal employee who did this.
That's right.
And that's quite a story to tell, because to me that's amazing that we have a building that can create its own energy, not expend any more, and yet cost the same.
Exactly. And that was really his idea from the get-go, was not that we could create this building, but that we could show to the country and show to the world that you can create these buildings. You can use resources. They found pine trees that had been infested with a invasive species beetle. We're able to still use the bark from those trees as part of some of the, you know, the wood paneling and some of the design. Able to, the old Denver airport that had been torn down, able to take some of those resources and put them into the construction, into the actual framework of the building, if they had some very large water pipes that could be part of the foundation then.
So, and I think you have, we just have about 2 minutes for the other award winners to kind of go through those. I don't want to miss anybody.
Well, as you even mentioned, there are amazing finalists out there that don't ultimately become award winners. A team this year from the Federal Communications Commission, Paul Coburn and Joe Casey, they did a project directly in response to Hurricane Katrina. And again, these are some of the, you know, very, you know, I don't want to say ordinary, but, you know, they're not executives within their agency, but they're folks that they're on the front lines of serving their needs. In response to Hurricane Katrina, they saw that they didn't have a good picture of the communication situation, of what communication services were available. If you think of all the radios that went down, the power lines that went down. And so what they just in their own garage, they started piecing together equipment that they could come up with, you know, off-the-counter equipment, pieced it together. And what they have now is a kit that FEMA can take into an area that's been hit by a hurricane. They actually took one of these kids down to Haiti following the earthquake up out there. They can go into areas before something happens. You know, they were out in Vancouver leading up to the last Olympics, where they could do a picture of, you know, what are the full spectrum of communications available for emergency responders and for sharing information with the general public. Understand what that picture is in the normal, and then if a major incident happens, they can do a scan and understand what's missing, so they can really strategize what needs to be done first to bring up systems, to have that communication available for the first responders, and to share information with the American people on how they can get services and emergency response to them.
Okay, and one last thing to talk about before we run out of time here this morning, Jim, is the FIA family, not the FIA, but the Sammy's family that was adopted this year from Haiti. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yes, I got to meet this family, talked with them leading up to the gala and during the gala themselves. Live out in Herndon, Virginia. And again, this was a couple that had several grown children of their own, and they saw an opportunity. They wanted to adopt children out of Haiti, but it started this process about 3 years earlier. And they were going through the immigration adoption process when the earthquake happened. Just had that immediate fear of, you know, are my children alive? You know, how can I get them home as fast as possible? And they even had to drive down to Miami during our snowmageddon last January so that they could pick them up at the Miami airport and bring them back home. but just showed a tremendous appreciation to Pius and his colleagues for what they did to, you know, bring their children out of Haiti and into their home here.
Okay, many thanks to Jim Seymour from the Partnership for Public Service and Robin Kehoe from FIA for our show today. That's all the time we have. Remember that Fed Talk is brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Have a great weekend.